Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. In 60 years living with diabetes, I've, in spite of the medical profession, author James Zajac details the arduous road to his diagnosis with diabetes at age 13, to his current successful, albeit untraditional, management of the disease at age 73. James describes the genesis of his diabetes following a childhood bout with rheumatic fever and early distrust in conventional medicine. He then recounts his youthful rebellion against the management of his disease until a meeting with a forward-thinking doctor set him on a path forward of self-sufficiency that persists to this day. He concludes the book by challenging the state of healthcare in the United States today. 60 years living with diabetes is an enlightening window in the life of a diabetic and his mission to encourage the American public to take responsibility for their own healthcare and not to entirely leave it on the doctors. A Connecticut native, James has lived in Pennsylvania for the past 50 years. He lives with his wife and enjoys gardening, bike riding, swimming, and in his earlier years, horseback riding, whitewater kayaking, and skiing. James Zajac, the author of 60 Years Living with Diabetes, in spite of the medical profession, is our guest on This Week in America. James, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
It is such an important book and an important topic. The book is available Amazon, wherever books are sold. We'll give you that information. Zajac is spelled Z-A-J-A-C. We'll give you that so you can get information on the book. Let's go back to when this all started, the diagnosis you had at age 13. Talk about that, and we'll pick the story up from there.
Yes, I was diagnosed with diabetes at the age of, was actually right around my 13th birthday. So 13 is not a number that I look lightly on.
Yes, yes.
But the thing is what irritated me was, and what I believe is the reason why I became a diabetic, was because they gave me penicillin to take to, 'cause what they said was to prevent me from getting another sore throat, because that was what they wanted to pin the rheumatic fever on, was that I had a sore throat and it gave me rheumatic fever. But the thing is I never remembered having a sore throat. And it's like the medical profession decides what is taking place in your life, and whatever you say is happening isn't happening because it's what they say. And it irritated me way back then when I was 12 years old and listening to that garbage from them. And what irritated me was my parents. They were, as far as they were concerned, the doctors know everything, so you got to listen to them. And they listen to them also.
Well, and that's sort of the way, you know, we were brought up, isn't it? That we sort of, and still so many of us do that. When the doctor says something, we say thank you, we pay the bill, we leave, and we follow their instructions. And you did that with the very serious consequences. When did you decide, especially at that early age, and how did you decide, okay, this isn't working? I mentioned your youthful rebellion against the management of your disease. How did that happen? How did you decide that, hey, it's my body, my disease, I know it better than the doctor does?
Well, my mother was giving me my insulin shots in the morning. And one thing is that irritated me with my mother was that she listened to the doctors. The doctors told her how much insulin to give me, and so she followed along hook, line, and sinker with what they said. The thing is there were times when I felt I needed to take more insulin, and my mother wouldn't let me because the doctors decided that I should be taking this amount of insulin. And so anyways, she was giving me my shot in the morning. And after that, I just, because she wouldn't let me change my insulin dosages, I decided that I would give myself my shot. And The thing is back then, what you had was needles that you reused all the time. So they were somewhat discomfortable and not like it is today,
yes,
where the needles are much more comfortable to take than what they were back then. So anyways, I finally decided I was going to give myself my own shot and not let my mother do it. And that way I would be able to have control over my diabetes rather than leave it in her hands. Because one thing is I was going into diabetic coma because my mother would not deviate from what the doctors wanted me to take. And so anyways, I went into diabetic coma, was taken to a hospital up in Boston, Massachusetts. And the hospital up in Boston, Massachusetts, it seemed like everyone was just brain dead on treating diabetes. And the doctors at the hospital, it was Children's Hospital of Boston, and they didn't have much more brains about treating diabetes than what the doctor that I was going to had. And it just irritated me, and my mother got a bit irritated with how they were treating my diabetes also, because they weren't really doing anything any differently than what the other ones were that we went to, which was our family doctor. And it was just like, no matter where you turned, you weren't getting any results. And one thing that was never discussed with me was my insulin. It was just, here, take this insulin and take this much a day. And they never discussed, I didn't know when the insulin was at its peak during the day. I knew nothing about the insulin. And what irritated me also was that I tried to get research a bit on diabetes and get information there. I went to the library, and the library didn't have any information on diabetes neither. So, I was completely in the dark on the disease, and what I refer to with other doctors now is that back then was the dark ages of diabetes.
And you're helping bring us out of that with your book, 60 Years Living with Diabetes. The book is written by James Zajac, Zajac, and the book is available at Amazon, all of the usual places. So much to talk about, but you found your path on this road to self-sufficiency. You talk about insulin. In the book, you talk about you consider engineered insulin to have a detrimental impact. Talk about that.
There was a time where in the 1980s, they came out with a new insulin, or I think it might have been the 1990s. They came out with a new insulin, which was Humalog. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the most devastating damn insulin that was ever produced. But it's still a big seller for Eli Lilly. And then as far as I'm concerned, if the government wanted to do anything, they'd ban that damn insulin. Because what it did to me was that it ruined my control over my diabetes. I go bike riding, and my insulin ought to be, my glucose levels should be dropping where I need something to eat. But the trouble is what it would do to me is my glucose levels would actually be rising while I'm bike riding rather than falling. and that was because of the Humalog insulin. And what irritated me was Eli Lilly was the ones who produced Humalog insulin, and they lied something atrocious in the papers that they've been packaged with them. Because I would take the papers and read them rather than just throw them in the trash and take the damn insulin. And what they did was they said it was the same as taking regular insulin, only acts quicker, but the way it reacts with your body and your pancreas is the same as regular insulin. Well, it wasn't true, because what it did was it would promote your liver to produce glucose in your body, so that it didn't have a lowering effect on it. And there's a whole lot more that needs to be understood about it that I don't really have the time to explain on the phone here. But the thing is it's something that needs to be addressed. And I used to install hardwood floors for people, and I was in a woman's home that she was a nurse in elementary school, and she had problems with one of her students who took Humalog insulin. And she said that he would go out at recess time, and when he came back in, they would recheck his glucose, and they'd always find that it was higher.
Interesting.
And I explained to her about the Humalog insulin, and it amazed her what I had to say about it. And she realized after listening to me that I was right, that what it did was it elevated that particular person's glucose when he went out and exercised outside during recess. And, there's just so much that the medical profession doesn't understand, and they don't wish to understand neither. And that's what irritates me the most about the medical profession.
Well,
because no matter what you have to say to them and what I had to say to them, me, I was just a dumb patient. Just shut your mouth and do as we say, and don't try to manage your own life.
You break down that intimidation level. This is James Zajac, our guest in the program, Zajac. The book is 60 Years Living with Diabetes. The book is available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Time going by so quickly, and I want to jump into, obviously, in listening to you, in your background, you have lived an active life. You're continuing at 73 to live an active life. And you see a doctor once a year, you talk about in the book. How do you know if things are under control? It's fascinating because you really understand your disease.
Well, what people need to do is they need to address more diligently their levels of their glucose and check their glucose levels, and they need to do it more often than what the doctors want them to do, because the doctors tell you, oh, you only need to do it twice a day or something like that. Very few of them encourage you to do it more often. But the thing is, as long as I know what my glucose levels are and that I've got them under control, I know what my A1C test is going to be. And your A1C test is the one that is most telling about how good a control your diabetes is under. And I know that as long as I have my glucose levels under control during the day, that my A1C test is going to come out well. And my A1C test is always down in the low sixes. Usually it's around 6.1, and one time I even had it as low as 5.8. Now, the doctors, they don't like that. They don't like it that I have it that low. They want it up higher. They think it, they think everyone, I mean, like the advertisements on television where they talk about people getting finally getting their A1C down below 7 because of this engineered insulin that they've come out with.
Yes.
And the thing is what people need to realize is that the engineered insulins may have a good effect on them as far as controlling their glucose. But the thing is if they would better control their glucose levels during the day. A lot of people, I mean, I met a guy one time who was did floors in his house. And anyways, he said that his A1C test was always up around 7. And I said, why should it be up that high? Don't you check your glucose? He says, yeah, I do, but I cheat at night. And the thing is you need to have self-control with what you eat and not cheat where it's going to drive it way up. And that's what he was doing, was he was driving his glucose readings way up at night, and he had A1C tests running up around 7. And, the thing is most people have problems with their diabetes. They end up with amputations, kidney problems, eyesight problems, and everything else because they don't sit and manage their glucose levels. And if you don't do that, you're going to end up with the problems. Me, I'm 73 years old. I've been a diet, well, I'm actually 75 years old now. But my glucose levels have always been tightly controlled. And I don't have any, I have all my toes, I have all my fingers, my eyesight is fine, my kidneys are functioning well. I don't have all the other problems that every other diabetic is having. And one thing that I do is when I go see doctors, I irritate them by telling them that I'm the longest living diabetic in the world.
Yeah, I can see where that would get under their skin there. You said several things, and we got just a couple minutes left, but getting test results. So many people go in, the doctor's got the test results. In your case, with your test, the doctor would say, you're way too low, we want it higher. By getting your test, and you say, get your test ahead of time so you're prepared to answer any questions the doctor might have and to direct the doctor. Is that difficult to be able to get the test first from the lab before the doctor gets them?
Well, not anymore, not in Pennsylvania anyways. The thing is in Pennsylvania, and I was the one who had to push the legislation in this state to pass that legislation where you are entitled to your test results without having to ask your doctor for them. So when you go to a lab and get tests done, you can tell the lab to send the results directly to your home and not have to kiss some doctor's butt in order to get the test results for yourself.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult, and then they give you their interpretation. You haven't seen it before. You haven't had a chance to do any research. All of this and so much more valuable information in James' book, 60 Years Living with Diabetes. The book is, in spite of the medical profession, the book's available at Amazon. Usual places where books are sold. Zajac is Z-A-J-A-C if you're Googling. I'm going to take a couple minutes here, not nearly enough time, but I want to talk about cost because people think I have to go to my doctor. I have all these expensive tests. I may have to go to the hospital. Talk about being able to manage your medical expenses, because you do that, you break it all down, so it makes sense the way you do it.
Yeah, one thing is books on diabetes has stated that diabetics, they cost $5,000 a year or something. I don't really remember now what the costs were that they were saying was how much diabetes costs this country. But the thing is it costs me, I don't know, a little over $1,000 a year.
Which is amazing.
And I do that because I manage my own diabetes. I ain't running to have every dumb test done on my diabetes. I get my A1C test done once a year just to make sure that I'm still on track with it. And I don't need to go every 3 months to a doctor to have it done. My stepson, he's a diabetic also, and I told him the same thing. Problems was his when he first became diabetic, and I finally got him away from the doctor that he was going to and got him in with another doctor that was knew more about diabetes than what the other jerk that he went to. And that's one thing people need to do is take a look at their doctor, and not just because they talk to them nice or they like them for some dumb reason, is get themselves with a doctor that knows what he's doing. And one thing is people do not know how to talk to doctors and lay down the law to them. They let the doctors lay down the law to them rather than them do it to the doctor. If you can't talk to your doctor, then what the hell are you going to him for?
Well, yeah, it's a conversation you're having with the doctor, and James has that in his book. The whole premise is the key to his success, and so many others that have discovered, and many who have followed and read James' book, is freedom over doctors, over insurance companies. The book is 60 Years Living with Diabetes in Spite of the Medical Profession. The author is James Zajac. That's Z-A-J-A-C. Book available at Amazon.com, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We just touched the surface. So much more life-altering information in James' book. James, a pleasure having you with us on the program. Hopefully we can do it again. So much more to cover. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you.
It has been a pleasure. It's James Zajac, Z-A-J-A-C, book 60 Years Living with Diabetes in Spite of the Medical Profession. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, book available at Amazon. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.